acclaimed singer-songwriter and author Dar Williams will bring her tour to Helsinki Hudson Thursday at 8 p.m., performing music from her two-decade-long career, including her newest album, In the Time of Gods. Dar Williams has released some 18 albums and EPs. In the Time of Gods focuses on the contrast between mythology and the troubles of the modern world. Throughout her career, Williams has received critical praise and popular support and has never shied away from commenting on social and political concerns. Dar Williams, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Hey, Dar, you play out a lot. I mean, how many nights a week do you play?
Well, you know, it goes in spurts. This fall, every weekend, I'm gone. And I do about 100 dates a year, you know, in the United States and a little bit abroad.
How is that? I mean, does it get tiring after a while?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a life. So every job has its ups and downs. But it's definitely traveling and seeing a lot of different kinds of places is definitely a part of who I am at this point, and kind of, you know, finding my way in a new place every weekend is, you know, there's a lot of good in that.
Your songwriting is now reaching legendary status. How do you decide what to write about?
You know, it comes to me, and it always has, and I always just cross my fingers that something's going to hit me poetically. I mean, Alan, you are a very observant person, and there's always something that you're bringing onto the show that interests you, and you know, I love to engage with all sorts of ideas too, but then there's something that's almost like a certain slant of light, as we say, you know, that sort of hits you poetically, and you know, you sort of sense you're in this kind of wonderful time vacuum where the past and the present are all sort of living together, and you're feeling something, and you know, and I know at that moment that it's something I want to deal with poetically.
You've performed at the Linda Norris Auditorium and sold it out. So are you getting too hard to get? In other words, is your price going up?
Never. No, the music biz is went through a really weird thing in the early aughts, you know, and with sort of the music industry falling apart. And that left everybody scrambling, and then the last 5 years have left other people scrambling. So it really feels more than ever like a pick up your guitar and some fellow musicians and, you know, pull out your instruments and get in your jalopy and go play music and you know, find community again. And, you know, I think it's there's something very sort of intimate and accessible about music and me these days. No, I'm easy to get.
You're married with kids. Does that wreak havoc on your social life by having to be in that jalopy every weekend?
Yes, somewhat, but it's at its best, it's really quite wonderful because you say, you know, we're in Albany, this is the capital of New York, or, you know, we're in Woodstock, and there was this festival, that, you know, or we're in Bethel, and there's this festival here, and, you know, we get to teach our kids history by being in places, and there's always some different rock that my son's picking up, and it's, you know, it's a red rock in the Southwest or something, you know, so at its best, it's great. At its worst, it is like two full-time jobs coming at me head-on, and I'm sure that my kids will have something to say about my absences, you know, along the way.
And when they go to the analyst later on.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone, I always knew that they were going to end up on the couch, so it's, you know, whether I'm away or here, I know myself, I know my genes. So, and they have a great thing going with their dad that I think they wouldn't have had. I think this is the way sort of social, you know, you do so much stuff with your kids right off the bat when they're born, you know, if you're breastfeeding and stuff, and you can get into this whole, I know where everything goes, I know, you know, where their clothes are, leave it to me kind of thing that can happen. It's not even sort of sociology, it's just habit, you know, and my going away forced my husband to find out, you know, where the pants were, where the bathing suits were, and his thing with the kids is really hands-on when I'm gone, and then we have grandparents and neighbors, so that whole takes a village thing really kicks in, and then when I'm home, I love nothing more than to sort of settle back into the community by being very connected, so, you know, I think it's been good. I think it's a net plus.
We share a hero, Pete Seeger, obviously, and you worked with him and know him. Who are your other heroes?
I'm teaching a course right now about music movements, and so I have a whole batch of new heroes.
Where are you teaching it, Dar?
At Wesleyan.
You're a graduate.
I know. So, but it's great. It's called the Center for Public Life that they have, and so they bring in people sort of from the outside world. And I'm teaching about the early '60s, and but I'm also teaching about the freedom songs in the civil rights movement. You know, of course, and all of those folks. You know, John Lewis.
Sure.
When he spoke the other night at the Democratic Convention about the voter ID laws, and he talked about the man who had beaten him up, and he had come to his office and said he was sorry, you know, in the last 2 months, said, "I'm sorry for beating you in the early 60s when you were on these freedom rides down south to get these rights." And he said, and he hugged me, and I hugged him, and we both cried, and we don't want to go back. I was a mess.
I'll bet. I'm a mess just listening to it.
So it's, you know, so I have a whole bunch of musical heroes from the early 60s down in the South. I just didn't understand the extent of it until I got a little farther in. You know, I know you know this, Alan. You know, when you have to teach something, you really have to get even farther in so that you can field things from all directions. But Pete was also, you know, talking about Pete, we read this testimony to the House on American Activity.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I don't know if I ever have or ever will need that kind of bravery and clarity about what's going wrong and what I'm going to do in the face of that. Sure. So he's still standing pretty tall.
He is. You know, I interviewed Harold Leventhal, his manager, legendary manager, before he passed, and he told me that the only thing that got Pete mad was that he was only in jail for an hour.
because I know. I checked that out after, you know, I said, he didn't actually go to jail, right? And the friend of mine who's worked, Rob Rosenthal, did a wonderful book of Pete's papers and a lot of setting the record straight on things. And he said, well, you know, a couple days here and there. And I said, well, that's just part of your cred as a folk singer. But there were real repercussions, and there was a moment when, you know, I think 10 years of being blacklisted, you know, I know what 3 years of you know, music piracy did to my career. You know, it's not what he had to do, sort of going back to basics. He mentions that he's sort of grateful for that he just had to go to summer camps and union halls and
Oberlin College. I think they were the first ones. And you've performed with Baez. What's she like?
Very warm, very funny, and really doing, right from the start, did her best to make sure that she was a completely humanized thing, you know, presence. That it was very generous for her to invite me out on the road with her. And I just remember, you know, she's really stylish. I mean, she really has a beautiful eye. She could really be a visual artist or a poet. Really, she writes beautiful poetry, too. So she would wear these great things, and I was so Quakerly. You know, I was so simple. And she was always kind of hoping for me, you know, that I would sort of step out. And
break out.
I was in her room once, and with the band, everyone's hanging out in her room, and I left my shoes in her room, in her hotel room. And the next day, my shoes were outside my door, and it said, "Darling, you need new shoes. Otherwise, you're perfect."
No, I love
and
it.
So I called her Queenie, you know, as a joke. But it was, she didn't have to take me out on the road. And I look back on that and all of the wonderful associations that I have. And she was actually really doing what she does, which is spreading seeds and looking out for people and helping to create always a next generation of, you know, of music. And she started the Center for Nonviolent Studies in California. That's still going strong. So she starts things and they grow and I grew and I aspire to be like her every day of my career.
That's just great. You're going to be at Helsinki, Hudson. We love Helsinki. It's one of our favorite places, and it's a great room. Thursday at 8 p.m. Do the rooms make a difference? In other words, way you play?
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling in the room. I mean, I think that's something that you get from traveling. You sort of, I get to towns, and you feel it or you don't feel it. And all of the places sort of up in the northern to me, Hudson Valley are, you know, Hudson has it, you know, and
it's great, isn't it? Yeah.
It's and always more so. I mean, it's a very interesting town. So
it
it's not just one thing. It looks sort of like New Orleans to me. Every house has a beautiful porch, and people actually sit and talk to each other on their porches. And then Club Helsinki is kind of bringing another thing about the Hudson Valley, which is the food, the farm and food thing. And that actually really helps the music. I have a couple songs about the Hudson at this point, P.S., the river, that is. But I'm going to be there with my keyboard player, whose name is Bryn Roberts, and he's a beautiful singer, too. So it's we've got a thing going.
This is great. I got to stop you and tell you. I said Bryn Roberts, nice lady's name, and it turns out it's a guy. Everybody says, Dar, that's got to be a guy also, but it's a girl.
Well, a few years ago, I know I pledged, and you were reading the pledges. And, you know, I have to say, you're one of the reasons, Alan, that I'm here in the Hudson Valley, because I was in Western Massachusetts, and the AMC sort of network and the sort of focus on New York news and all things New York. I don't know, it helped to draw me here. And so I pledged a few years ago, and you said, Dar Williams, friend of the station, he's a musician. And then I heard,
oh no!
I heard these sort of pitter pat, pitter pat, pitter. Like I could just hear the 19-year-old intern, coming up to you, and then you said, oh, it's a woman. Well, it doesn't matter. Still a friend of the station.
and all these years later, I have to apologize ashamedly because your music is so wonderful, and we all know it so well. I don't know. You make a lot of mistakes in one's life. I do, and I do apologize for that, Dar.
That's not a big one. It's really not a big one.
Well, you have to promise to, when you have a moment, to come up here, perhaps with your family, perhaps not, and just do an hour with us about, before the real good microphones, and talk about your career and what you've taught at Wesleyan, and so we can all learn from you. It would be great. Listen, I just appreciate the hell out of waking you up in the morning and having you do this with us. It's great. Dar Williams, of course, she will be on a tour at the Hudson Helsinki, which is a great institution run by two of my favorite people, Mark Schaffler and Deborah McDowell, this Thursday at 8 p.m. Dar, thank you for doing this. I just love this interview. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Great. Bye-bye. In the Hudson.